Only in America is it possible to say, you know what, I don't like the way the country is going, and to do something about it. Take that risk. Take that leap of faith. Stay involved. Trust God and act obediently. Romans 12, 2 verse. That God will use all things, for good for those who love Him. It's bigger than you. I want you to remember that. It is bigger than you. It's bigger than me. You are here to make somebody else's life better, the pursuit of liberty and freedom. You know what gives me strength? The hundreds of thousands of you that say, Charlie, keep going.
1 Corinthians 5 and 15. So that's all pretty amazing evidence, not just intra-biblical evidence, but extra-biblical evidence that Jesus Christ was a real person. He lived a perfect life. He was crucified, died, and rose on the third day, and He is Lord and God of all.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is September 21st, 2025, and we are going live here in just a second to the Charlie Kirk Memorial Ceremony in State Farm Stadium. Reportedly over 300,000 in attendance. There's people not able to get in. In fact, if you guys have that shot, there's lines of people out the door wanting to get into this. They seem to be at capacity at this time. We're going to that shot right now.
Distance because there's so many barricades, so many structures, police all over the place. Again, this is a level one security event, basically Super Bowl style security. But the latest from here is that stadium, State Farm Stadium, which seats just over 60,000 people, completely full capacity, nobody else being let in through the gates right now. So people are either going across the street to the overflow or they're going to try to go home and watch it, John. We'll send it back. Says everything about him that this is closed. It's at full capacity. And now you got tens of thousands of people going across the street to watch him in a separate arena. Thank you guys for coming out. Thanks for your time and best of luck. So John, got a lot of security out here, police all over the place. We had to get in a car to get over here. It's not walking distance because there's so many barricades, so many
structures.
All right,
you can see right now, the inside of that stadium. That's where they play football normally. And that is where
style security, but the latest from
it is packed
that stadium,
to the
State
gills
stadium, which seats just over 60,000 people.
And we're going to have coming up, Donald Trump is going to be speaking, Vice President J.D. Vance, Erica Kirk. Thank you for joining us here at InfoWars. We're going to be covering this live, I think, for the totality of the event. I'm kicking it off. Alex will be here very soon. Alex Jones will be joining us. Kyle Seraphim. It's going to be a jam-packed transmission. We're just going to go live as long as this thing goes. I imagine it's going to be at least 3 hours. It's supposed to start at 1. Guys, just jump in my ear whenever it starts, and we'll go to it. I do want to cover a few articles. Gateway Pundit has Kirk's funeral test Secret Service yet again. So apparently they found an armed man at the memorial yesterday. And they said he may have been conducting advanced security. He was armed. They found him. Secret Service said he falsely claimed to be a member of law enforcement and stated he was armed. He was charged. His name was Joshua Runkles. He was charged with impersonating a law enforcement officer, which is a felony, and carrying a weapon into a prohibited space, a misdemeanor. And he has now been released on bond. There is an ongoing investigation to determine his intent and purpose at the stadium. So, lots of stuff going on. We've had people shoot up. I think it was a leftist lawyer they caught shooting up an ABC station. Let's see where that is. I just saw that one earlier. And here's a man arrested with a gun outside Andrew Tate's home. No shots were fired. He was disarmed by his private security and then apprehended by police. Here it is. Radical leftist attorney arrested for shooting up ABC station day after pro-Kimmel protest. There's been some interesting memes coming out about this. In fact, I have a couple here on X. Let's see. I retweeted these this morning because it kind of sums up the moment. Imagine being more upset about a canceled TV show than a political assassination and still thinking you're being a decent human being. So we're skipping all our ad breaks, but now the ad just started playing in my ear, and I'm like, are we even still going? Okay. If y'all could kill that as quick as possible, that'd be great. Or just turn everything off in my ear, and I'll just talk. Okay. So Sacramento Police Department responded to shots fired at the officers at the offices of ABC 10 in Sacramento about 1:30 on Friday. They believe a man discharged a firearm multiple times into the lobby area from a passing vehicle before speeding off. At least one person was present in the building, but no injuries were reported. Interesting, one person at a ABC station. So Hernandez Santana has been charged with assault with a deadly weapon and shooting into an occupied building and negligent discharge of a firearm is being held on $200,000 bail. Social media profiles appearing to belong to the suspect are being scoured by users who are highlighting a steady stream of radical leftist rhetoric, including disturbing posts about Kirk, President Trump, and ICE. Where is a good heart attack when you need it most? Please join in my thoughts and prayers for the physical demise of our fearful leader, reads a September 18th post from the same account. The account is, I think it's A.L.H. Santana. That's what it looks like. I posted that on September 18th. Which was 8 days after Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Bioinformation provided in the profiles indicate Hernandez Santana may be an attorney from Puerto Rico who served as legislative director for California Federation of Teachers. So, guys, did we find the overflow shots of people?
Only in America is it possible to say, you know what, I don't like the way the country is going, and to do something about it. Take that risk. Take that leap of faith. Stay involved. Trust God and act obediently. Romans 12, 2 verse. That God will use all things, for good for those who love him. It's bigger than you. I want you to remember that. It is bigger than you. It's bigger than me. You are here to make somebody else's life better, the pursuit of liberty and freedom. You know what gives me strength? The hundreds of thousands of you that say, Charlie, keep going.
1 Corinthians 5 and 15. So that's all pretty amazing evidence, not just intra-biblical evidence, but extra-biblical evidence that Jesus Christ was a real person. He lived a perfect life. He was crucified, died, and rose on the third day, and he is Lord and God of all.
We are live. It is 1:21 Central Time. I'm your host, Rob Dew. We're covering the memorial for Charlie Kirk taking place at State Farm Arena in Arizona, right outside of Phoenix. And it's normally where the Cardinals play football, so that's how many people are there. And in fact, there's even overflow crowds of people wanting to get in. And this is at nighttime, so these people have been waiting. These people have been waiting for hours to get in. You can see all the people there. And then let's go to a live shot real quick of what's going on now. We're going to go to that in just a second. They've started with – you're probably – this is going to be a long event. So you're in for a good haul today. You can see people are going to be singing. They're probably singing hymns right now. So we're going to go to that, and we'll come back and forth. I've got some news that has been happening. They found an armed man yesterday impersonating a police officer. At least that's what he was arrested for. And I will go into that. And a little bit of a, there was an attorney in California who shot up a ABC station because he's mad about Jimmy Kimmel being canceled. So let's go a little bit to what's going on now, and then I'll pop out and I'll give you guys some news. Coming in. This is live at Glendale, Arizona. And we'll be switching from several different feeds. This is probably going to be the most Christian thing you're going to see in the last 5 years of what's going on with all these people, with all the prayer. And it's all due to Charlie Kirk and his life and his legacy. Donald Trump's going to be here. J.D. Vance, Erica Kirk's going to speak. This is going to be quite an event. If you see me looking over here, I'm looking at a live feed of what's going on right now. They're showing some memorial shots of Charlie. And it's going to be quite an event. So Alex Jones will be joining us. Very soon he'll be in studio. Kyle Seraphim's supposed to come on. And I imagine this is going to be a prayer from Pastor Rob McCoy. So we'll go to that prayer full screen on that. Here it is.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming out to honor Charlie Kirk. God bless all of you and all of you tuning in online around the world. I know you're all wondering, who is he and why is he here? And I'm asking myself the same question. Charlie Kirk called me his pastor. I called him my friend. I was with Charlie about a little over 2 weeks ago in Korea as he was supporting the persecuted Christians over there as they're raiding churches and imprisoning pastors. And he spoke to the youth there that now are chanting on the streets, "I am Charlie Kirk, standing for freedom across that country."
This is why they did not like Charlie Kirk. This man could take a message worldwide, and that is what they feared. The system feared
that. In a conversation with Charlie in the green room in Korea,
it's amazing.
He said something to me that he'd said a number of times. He said, he kept calling me his pastor, and I stopped him. I said, "Charlie, since the president's gotten elected, your stock has risen through the stratosphere. And I don't see much of you. I mean, he wasn't a very good congregant. He was on the road 320 days a year. But he said, Rob, not only are you my pastor, but you're America's pastor. And I said, Charlie, if we were at a tabling event on a campus where you had the table said, prove me wrong, I'd win. And he looked at me with that sheepish grin that he always has. Doggone it if he wasn't right. I mean, I wasn't America's pastor 2 minutes ago, and I won't be after this, but for right now, he proved me wrong. In a moment, you're going to hear from the most powerful political people in the free world. You're going to hear from the who's who. And they're going to assemble in this place to talk about what Charlie Kirk did in 31 years on this earth. He had more lifetimes in 31 years than all of us have in the entirety of our own. And as I was thinking about that, to recount all that he's accomplished in 31 years is quite a feat. I mean, I was just telling the Turning Point staff as I walked in here, everyone is worried that the Turning Point isn't going to be successful. And I looked at each and every one of them. And for those of you who are negative, without Charlie Kirk's presence, they pulled off the largest event in Turning Point history. Let's thank them.
Wow, he's literally thanking the enemies of Charlie Kirk for creating this worldwide phenomenon that's happening right now, where people are coming together. They're holding vigils across the country. It's been 67,000, I think, chapters of people, new chapters that want to be formed for Turning Point across the country. That's huge. That's in high schools. That's in colleges. And that's what it means. And there's that painting that young man painted. Lost a bunch of followers over it. 33,000, interestingly enough.
First of all, I was thinking of Abraham Lincoln when I was reflecting on Erica and their two children, and for Charlie's parents and his sister. Abraham Lincoln said to Mrs. Bixby when she had lost sons in the Civil War, he wrote these words, "I feel how weak and fruitless must be any word of mine to beguile you from the grief of a loss so overwhelming. We can't bring him back, but we thank you for raising him. We thank you for loving him. Erica, for being the strength in his life. And we pray for this family, and we ask God's comfort and peace upon you. In Jesus' name, amen." Now my responsibility, entrusted to me by my friend and his wife. You're going to hear of what Charlie did, but I'm here today to tell you the why in what he did. The why brought him the courage. The why brought him the wisdom and the strength. The why is the one that Charlie wanted to welcome as the guest of honor. The guest of honor, his resume is long. He's the King of Glory. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Savior of the world. He's the living God. He's the God of all mercy and grace. The total embodiment of love. The total embodiment of truth. And he's here today to call his children back to him. From the thin veil of heaven, Charlie declares to all earthly powers and principalities who will gather here, they have come into the presence of the God of all creation. Charlie wanted his Savior to be the guest of honor. He wanted all of you to receive this gift from him, the why and what he did. Charlie was never afraid. because he knew his life was secure in the hand of God. Jesus left the glory of heaven's throne for the humiliation of an earthly cross. He was fully tempted, yet was without sin. For those of you who struggle with the word sin, it's real simple. It's an archer's term. Where the bullseye is and where the arrow lands, that's called the sin distance, how far you've fallen from perfection. And there are none righteous, no, not one. We've all missed the mark, the bullseye. And we try to get to God by our efforts, but there is no effort that will bring us back into the presence of a righteous God. You see, the wages of sin is death. Charlie knew this, and at an early age, he entrusted his life to the Savior of the world. Jesus came to this earth, was tempted in all ways, yet was without sin, was crucified upon a cross. His blood was poured out because blood must be shed for the remission of sins. And his death upon that cross was sufficient for all the world's sins, but only efficient for those who, like Charlie, would receive him as their Savior. Jesus has come to seek and save that which is lost. And I would say this to all of you. The Lord loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to give you a new life. He wants to cover the multitude of your sins by the blood he shed upon the cross. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your tongue Jesus is Lord, you will be saved to the glory of the Father. You see, Charlie looked at politics as an on-ramp to Jesus. He knew if he could get all of you rowing in the streams of liberty, you'd come to its source, and that's the Lord. In the time I have remaining, I'm going to ask all who profess Christ as their Savior to remain seated. The Bible says, if you profess me before man, I'll profess you before my Father in heaven. It requires an act of faith. You stand. That's what Charlie did every day on campus with death threats. He stood because he knew in whom he had trusted. And he wants to give you the gift of the why and what he did, and that is his Savior Jesus. While believers are seated, if there's any in this room and across the globe that would desire to receive Jesus as their Savior, as Charlie did as a young man, and now is in the presence of his Savior, I'm going to ask you to put action to your faith. And I'd ask you to stand right now to receive the Lord. Don't be ashamed. Stand. Amen. Amen. Amen.
As you can see, most of the people in the room are seated. There's a few standing, wanting to receive Jesus into their life. And Pastor Rob McCoy is now going to do this across the country. There's a few people standing.
The Bible says that when one sinner gives their heart to the Lord, the angels in heaven rejoice. And I got to tell you,
I don't think people realize what's going on today. This is huge in a biblical sense. And this is the reaction. See, we're not seeing riots. We're seeing people come to Christ after this tragedy, after this assassination.
If someone is seated next to you, I want that person who is a believer to stand and pray with you. And please, up on the screen, I want you to take a picture of this QR code. We are going to give you everything you need to walk this walk with Christ. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God, and it's time to get into a Bible-believing church.
Full screen.
And pastors, if you didn't want to give Charlie Kirk the time of day, these folks are going to be showing up at your church, and they're there because of his life. God bless you, and may the Lord keep you. Amen.
Once again, it is September 21st, 1:34 Central, and we are live covering the Charlie Kirk Memorial.
And join us for the national anthem.
And we're going to have the national anthem. And
Word, march.
No. Here it is. People will be standing for the national anthem. We will maintain radio silence here. Rousing rendition of the national anthem, complete with a color guard. Pastor Rob McCoy, who just gave like the opening here, posted this. People are afraid of the consequences of standing for the truth when we should be afraid of the consequences that come from being complacent. So what you're seeing now is people not being complacent. You're seeing people stand up, but not in a violent way. They're standing up and saying, look, we are going to be a Christian nation. We're going to act like that, which we want to see and what we saw from Charlie Kirk. And you're seeing a huge, it's named after his organization, Turning Point. You're seeing a big turning point in what's going on right now across the country, with the number of new chapters coming on of Turning Point, organizations, little satellite offices. I think they've had 67,000 new requests at high schools and colleges across the country. I mean, that's more than, it's like, quadruple more than what they have now. So Charlie's death has really galvanized a lot of people, and they're ready to stand up and ready to start speaking their truth. And let's go back to it.
It means a lot to share my story. Almost 12 years ago, I met this bright young man filled with optimism.
We're going to have a lot of speakers today. I guess there's an issue channeling that in. I'm not hearing that feed. There was an armed man found yesterday at the Charlie Kirk Memorial. He said it, they say in the headline from InfoWars, may have been conducting advanced security. A man identified as Joshua Runkles was arrested on Friday at the State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona after exhibiting suspicious behavior. He was approached by Secret Service. There's Secret Service swarming this event today. Then allegedly falsely claiming to be a member of law enforcement and stated that he was armed. Runkles was charged with impersonating a law enforcement officer, which is a felony, and carrying a weapon into a prohibited place, which is a misdemeanor. He has been released on bond. All right, let's go back to the memorial.
Not knowing anything about this young man, except that he sounded impressive, we told him that if he could raise the first half, we would give him the remaining $25,000. 2 days later, Charlie called to say that he had raised the money. He was not in his hometown. He was not even in his home state. He was 20 years old, and yet he met our challenge. I laughed and I told him, I said, "Well, Charlie, I guess we owe you a check." That was Charlie Kirk's first challenge grant. After that initial grant, we followed suit with multiple challenge grants, each one larger than the previous, eventually growing into the millions. In the early days, Charlie felt like a son to me. More recently, I was the one looking up to him. Charlie never disappointed. He met every challenge with optimism and grit. Today, I feel like Charlie is challenging us. Will we meet his challenge to fight for freedom, for family, for faith? More importantly, will we do this the way that Charlie did, with a heart that loves God? Before you answer that question, I would like to share something else with you. Shortly before I met Charlie, I had become very discouraged about the atmosphere in our country. I even suggested to my husband that maybe we should stop trying. It seemed that the money and time we were giving to freedom causes did not seem to be making a difference. Bill asked me to read an article by Larry Reed. The essence of the article said this: if we truly believed in freedom, we must never stop trying to preserve it. We had a moral obligation to fight for freedom. And as long as there is a breath in our bodies, we must fight.
And that's Rebecca Dunn, and TPUSA advisor. We must fight.
We met a true freedom fighter.
Never stop.
Today, there is no doubt that Charlie Kirk fought for freedom with the last breath in his body. Thank you, Charlie Kirk. And thank you to everyone who will not stop fighting, to all who will meet the challenge Charlie gave us. Thank you.
Please welcome to the stage Larry Arn.
Good morning. We had the pastor, I'm the school teacher. I have one short story to tell you about Charlie Kirk, my friend. He became a friend of mine because I interrogated him one time. 19-year-olds are my specialty. I asked him some questions he couldn't answer. And he was already becoming famous. And I noticed his reaction. He said, "What should I do?" And I said, "Well, you have to suffer. If you want to grow, you have to suffer. Hard to learn. End of the night. Crack of dawn in the morning. Start with the Bible. Read the classics. Study the founding of America. In those places, you will find that there's a ladder that reaches up toward God. And at the bottom of it is the ordinary good things that are around us everywhere. If we can call them by their names, they have being. And the beings of the good things are figments of God." You will find that article in Aristotle. You will find it in the Bible. You will find it in Madison and Jefferson. How do I learn that? He said. And I said, you have to suffer. You have to study. You have to think. I thought I'd never hear from him again. Within a month, he got hold of my cell phone number and he texted me a copy of a certificate of completion of a Hillsdale College online course. He would go on to do that 31 times. I keep a list in my head of the 6 or 8 young people, and I'm very privileged. I get to know many inspiring young people who are the best I ever saw. Charlie is the only one who was never a full-time student at Hillsdale College who was on that list. We will miss him dearly. He can't be replaced. Do you know, a good thing is a thing that has being. An assassin is not a thing that has being. The assassin must give up his humanity to destroy something that has being. Charlie lives on. The assassin will die. My wife, who's here with me today, and I have set up a scholarship in the hope that Charlie's children will go to a good college. I have one in mind. And this May the 9th, Erica doesn't know this yet, we are going to give Charlie and Erica the greatest respect a college can give. An honorary degree. Charlie, you see, has suffered enough. He's gone to the Lord. He deserves his reward. Thank you.
All right, so that was the president of Hillsdale College, where Charlie had taken 30-some-odd credits, and then at one point saying, you know what, I really don't need college. I can do this on my own. And then at some point, on June 5th, 2012, he started Turning Point USA and really going back into the schools because he saw what was going on in these schools and saying, I could talk to these kids. But I want to look at this article on the Gateway Pundit from Victor Davis Hanson. And he said this is a real turning point for Western civilization. And he suggests the killing of Charlie Kirk is a turning point. He talks about the resolve that many people feel to reject anti-Americanism in our culture and our politics. And I just want to read a little bit of this. If y'all could turn that down just for a second. What is this moment we're seeing in the United States with thousands of people commemorating the death of Charlie Kirk? There's no tolerance for the usual left-wing socialist craziness and abhorrent violent smears of conservatives who've died. And we don't see major bureaucrats or generals or Hollywood figures increasingly. They're not coming out and rejoicing because they know they're going to get a big pushback, a la Jimmy Kimmel. This is not violent. It's just a collective shrug. And what is the shrug, basically? It's saying we're tolerant people with alternate lifestyles, whether we like it or not. The nuclear two-parent family for 2,500 years has ensured the survival of Western civilization and gives us 2 to 3 to 4 children that can reproduce the species. We're tolerant of Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism. We have multicultural, multiracial population. But whether we like it or not, the foundations of the United States are Judeo-Christian, as are of Western civilization in general. And we have no apologies for that. Sermon on the Mount is a unique document. We're also tired of what I call boutique anti-Americanism. We see Rep. Ilhan Omar suggesting that our elected government is worse than the dictatorship in Somalia. Or we see Ocasio-Cortez calling President Donald Trump a fascist, as she has in the past. Or Rashida Tlaib just demonizing and damning the United States, even though her parents fled the Middle East to come here. And we're tired of it. This is what you're seeing right now. People are tired of it, but we're not becoming violent. We're gathering in mass to pray together, to come together. I went to a farmer's market yesterday. I was wearing a shirt, a come and take it shirt. A guy had a cross shirt on. He came up and said, hey, man, love your shirt. We gave each other a hug. And that's what you're going to see more of, people coming together rather than than being divided. And that's what Charlie Kirk is doing. That's going to be his legacy, bringing millions of people together. So let's go back to it right now.
Favorite and so often worn by him was live free. 11 days ago, my friend was martyred for using his voice to engage in peaceful dialogue. Charlie's assassin thought that he could steal and silence his voice by putting a bullet in his neck. In the words of Soren Kierkegaard, the tyrant dies and his rule is over. The martyr dies and his rule has just begun. Charlie was not silenced. His movement is only beginning. The voices of millions globally have been awakened, furthering his cause and mission far beyond anyone's comprehension. We won't cower in fear. We will never surrender. We are resolved to live free from lies and seek out what is true. We will respectfully, boldly, challenge what is accepted by culture in order to seek out what is true and acceptable to God Almighty alone. To everyone here today, live free. True freedom is not found in doing whatever we want, but pursuing Christ and doing what is right. In Charlie's words, get married. Have more children than you can afford. Build a legacy. Pass down your values. Pursue the eternal. Seek true joy. Charlie led by example. It's not only seen in the incredible wife, Erica Kirk, his two beautiful children, the legacy he built, his values, his love of God, and true joy he found in his Savior, Jesus Christ. But in countless people, especially young people like Elizabeth and I, whose very lives are the fruit of Charlie's example of faithfulness. Charlie, it was the honor of my life to serve you as you serve Jesus. And now we will all continue to serve you as we continue to serve Jesus. Thank you so much. I love you, Charlie. I can't wait to see you again. God bless Erica Kirk, CEO and chair of Turning Point USA, the Kirk family, and God bless America.
And that was Mikey McCoy, friend of Charlie Kirk, also worked at TPUSA, just explaining the revolution that's going on right now. And it's not a revolution based on violence. It's a revolution based on peace and free speech.
Look at this. You have no idea how much Charlie Kirk wants a bullhorn down here right now. He always said to me, if we could just figure out how to bring the Holy Spirit into a Trump rally, I think you've done it. My name is Tyler Boyer. I was the CEO of Turning Point USA and now the CEO of Turning Point Action. You may know me from the Charlie Kirk Show or our weekly podcast, Thought Crime, with Charlie, Jack, Blake, and Andrew, but I'm also the longest tenured employee at Turning Point. I met my friend Charlie in 2014. We connected when Turning Point USA was just in its infancy, sharing a vision for what the conservative movement should be. Charlie was just a kid then. I was a little older. We had a lot in common. I didn't like rhinos. He didn't like rhinos. I was the youngest guy at Tea Party meetings. He was the youngest guy at Tea Party meetings. Charlie didn't go to college. I went to ASU, so I basically didn't go to college.
You know, I don't know if people realize this. Charlie Kirk started TPUSA when he was 18 years old. When most people are trying to figure out, you know, where their next kegger is in college, he was deciding, hey, I've got to create an organization to go reach out to these students and explain to them how they're being scammed on all kinds of things, not just the college system, but how the big government is scamming you, how war is scamming you, how all these scams are taking place to keep you from doing what you should be doing, which is getting married and having kids and raising a family. Because that's what we were put here on this earth for. We weren't put here on this earth to go to keggers. I just want to tell people the list coming up. We're going to have Stephen Miller, Tucker Carlson, Donald Trump Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, Pete Hegseth, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Marco Rubio, Susie Wiles, Erica Kirk, Vice President J.D. Vance, and then President Donald Trump will probably end the speakers at the Charlie Kirk funeral. This is a sad day, September 21st, 2025, but also you can see how people are turning this into something joyous. There's some of the crowd waiting to get in at 4 a.m. in the morning, lining up to queue. I mean, that's from Nick Sorter, who normally does this show from 1 to 2. He's actually on scene. So Alex called me and said, can you get up here? I said, of course. You know, be my honor to kick off this event, because Charlie really did. I don't even know if we've really seen and felt everything that he's done in his life, because it's going to keep ebbing out. There's thousands of clips coming out every day that people are digging through. And that's the real power of his word. Now you can see, you know, and then you're asking yourself, oh, why did they kill this guy? And then you see a clip of him talking to a young man about how, you know, racism is just this thing that's been created to control you. And some people see it and some people don't. And you could see, oh, he was racist. And then he's hanging out with black folks and having a good time and just speaking the word of Jesus Christ. He was probably a little more religious than I was, but that doesn't mean, you know, his message was bad or my message is bad. It means there is a message out there, and it's about truth. And that's what we're all going after in the end, is trying to find truth. And I think Charlie was a great example of that, especially with the numbers of people that would go to his events and that resonated with his message. So we're celebrating what he's doing. You're watching it here live on InfoWars at InfoWars.com/show. We're also on at Real Alex Jones, at InfoWars, and at AJN Live. So you can catch all those, spread the links. This is just the start. This is we're basically barely an hour in at this point. And, you know, right now they're bringing out, we had Pastor Rob McCoy, kind of start things off with a prayer, then the national anthem. And then, you know, we're slowly building up to, the speakers that I alluded to earlier. Obviously the Secret Service has their work cut out for them. There's a lot of people there, but obviously 99.999% of the people there are there in peace. They said they're not going to arrest any protesters inside or outside. So they'll just, if you're doing something, you're going to be grabbed and just taken out. But here, a radical leftist attorney arrested for shooting up ABC station day after pro-Kimmel protests. This was in Sacramento. The Sacramento PD responded to reports of shots fired at the offices of ABC 10 in Sacramento around 1:30 on Friday. Authorities believed a man discharged a firearm multiple times into the lobby from a passing vehicle before speeding off. At least one person was present in the building, but no injuries were reported. SPD, working with the FBI, keyed in on the suspect vehicle and arrested 64-year-old Anibal Hernandez Santana at his residence in Capital City. He's been charged with assault with a deadly weapon, shooting into an occupied building, and negligent discharge of a firearm, and being held on $200,000 bail. While the shooting remains under investigation, it occurred just hours after a small group of agitators gathered outside the ABC affiliate to protest the suspension of the late-night host. That's Jimmy Kimmel, after he made dishonest remarks regarding the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I don't think that's why he got ousted. And everybody's saying, oh, it was that, those few comments. No, it was the next night the ABC executive saw what Jimmy Kimmel was going to come out and say. And they're like, no, you're not going to make this worse by doubling down. And so they fired him. And people were saying, oh, Trump said it was, no, Trump talked about his opinion, discussed his opinion. The head of the FCC said, if we're going to have people lying, maybe we'll take away their broadcast license. I mean, how much lying do we get to have in this world before something starts happening, before we start having some accountability? Right? That's what you have to ask yourself.